Good morning, everybody. The scripture readings that we have today, particularly this first reading of a spectacular event in Abraham's life, and then the transfiguration in the event in the life of James and Peter and John. When I think about it, my fear is that such supernatural experiences are so outside the realm of our own experience that sometimes we don't know what to do with them. So in the first reading, you have this event in Abraham's life where he's been brought from one part of the world to another. And he has a doubt. He wants clarification. Lord, how do I know that what I'm doing? Fire part. And a flaming torch appear and pass between the pieces of the flesh and consume the sacrifice. And if you try to imagine the scene, that must have been a spectacular sight. And then you have the transfiguration once again. The experience is supernatural. This time, there were no animals, no fire pot, no flaming torch. But the scene is not any less spectacular. Peter and James and John not only get a glimpse of the transfigured Jesus, we don't know what that means. We only heard about it, the transfigured Jesus, but then also, as if in a movie trailer, you have important figures from the Old Testament come and appear and talk to Jesus. Now, I don't know what goes on in your mind as you hear these supernaturally spectacular events. They seem events in the far distant past, don't they? And as I said earlier, especially since such experiences are uncommon for us, there is an inclination to sometimes treat them as unrealistic. Now, if not in ways that today's scripture readings describe to us, how else is God present in our midst today? What do we fall back on? How is God present in our world today, in our time, in our lives? So that's the focus of my homily today. And I want to reflect on this in my 3 points today. And hopefully there are practical implications for you to take home. So first of all, I want to talk about the crucifixion. Now, my 3 points are just a little deep, so I'm asking you to stay with me. I'm really trying to connect the events of the past with our present. So let me talk about the crucifixion. Now, I want to take you to the mountain of the Transfiguration. On that mountain, unlike Abraham, there were no animals to sacrifice, right? There was only Jesus and Moses and Elijah. 2 millennia later, as we look back at the Transfiguration, we know the reason why there were no animals. Luke tells us that during the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were conversing with Jesus about what? And thank God Luke tells us about what? Luke says, about his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. In other words, the Transfiguration became that turning point where God's revelation took on a radically new turn. A suffering Messiah. A suffering Messiah. This passion that Jesus was about to accomplish in Jerusalem, that is what Moses and Elijah were talking about. So there were no animals for sacrifice on the mountain of the transfiguration because of Jesus. "This is my beloved son," the voice said. The son replaced the sacrificial animals. The splendor of the transfiguration, the spectacular scene of the transfiguration, was only a preparation for the splendor of the crucifixion. The connection between transfiguration and crucifixion is really intricate. So, if spectacular is the standard, the crucifixion was a gruesome event. Yet, not even the splendor of the transfiguration could compare to the splendor of the crucifixion. The scene of God embracing human suffering and overcoming human mortality, the scene of Jesus transforming the very source of death and destruction into life and eternity on the cross, is the most spectacular event of all of human history. So here's the practical implication that I'm trying to reflect upon. Folks, the transfiguration happened 2 millennia back, but human suffering happens every day. Today, just as at the crucifixion, Jesus is in every cross that human beings carry. And tell me, is there anyone here who has no cross to carry? So while we might wonder about the splendor and the spectacular scene of the transfiguration, I'm saying that something more spectacular is happening right in our midst. Christ, just as he was present in the suffering at the crucifixion, Christ is present in every cross that human beings carry. Jesus, just as at the crucifixion, is in every suffering that we endure globally. For example, this war in Iraq, where is God? Where is Jesus? And I believe that Jesus is with those who are hurting, who are weeping, who are crying, who are grieving, who are suffering. That is where Christ is. Or our personal sufferings. People, for example, who are going through a terminal illness. When we suffer, Christ is near to us, with us, in us. And I would rather have the splendor of the suffering Messiah on the cross rather than the splendor of the transfiguration. So that's the first place where Christ is present, less spectacular, but the splendor is still intact. Secondly, I want to talk about the Eucharist. There is yet another parallel to be drawn between today's scripture readings and our lives today. There was the altar that Abraham built, and the sacrifice that he offered, which was acceptable to God. Remember, he laid out the animals, and then the flaming torch came and consumed the sacrifice. It was a sacrifice acceptable to God. And then there was the sacrifice that Jesus offered on the altar at Calvary, which was also acceptable to God. Of course, it was Jesus' own sacrifice. That is the most acceptable sacrifice to God. And today, there is the altar here at which we offer a worship that is acceptable to God. Now, please don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that we are sacrificing Jesus all over again or that the Eucharist is an atonement sacrifice. I'm not saying that at all. I'm trying to draw the attention to our altar on which ordinary bread and simple wine are transformed into the real presence of Christ. There is no transfiguration here. We're not here for a transfiguration today. But I believe that when a simple piece of bread and humble wine is transformed into the real presence of Christ, it is something more spectacular than the transfiguration, only without the brilliance and the splendor of the original one. Folks, this is no ordinary event. We may not see brightness or whiteness more than at the transfiguration. However, the same Christ present here, I believe, is more spectacular than a spectacular sight. So today, right at this hour, Christ is with us on this holy mountain. And so in a few moments, we will go on our knees like Peter and James and John. Today we will do homage. Today we will be in awe. Today we converse and commune with the God of eternity. We may not have been on the mountain of the transfiguration, but we are with Christ, and Christ is with us on this holy mountain. And finally, I'm going to come to the most demanding and the most challenging of ways in which Christ is present to us, and I'm saying that we need to recognize the splendor of this presence as well. These days, I'm offering a 6-week Lenten series on Francis of Assisi. Francis was a very wealthy young man, but Francis had a tremendous aversion to filth, to dirt, and to foul smells and sight. Now, it was during his initial days of his conversion that as he was going through all this turmoil in his life, he came upon a leper. Now Francis, at this point, gets off his horse and he goes to the leper and he kissed the leper and embraced him. Now, there are many powerful experiences in Francis's life, including the one where he's at this in front of the crucifix at the church in Saint Damiano, and the Lord speaks to him and he says, "Repair my church," right? That's a powerful experience. And then there is the experience of where he strips himself completely to give to his father what belonged to his father, and he renounces the world. These are very two powerful moments of Francis's life. Yet the pivotal moment of Francis's conversion is when he embraces the leper. Now, there's no reason for us to believe that somehow Francis saw Jesus in the leper and he embraced him. No, there isn't. So there's no need to make that up. However, the embrace of the leper calmed the overwhelming turmoil of this young penitent Francis and finally brought him relief and peace. It was the embrace of the outcast leper that became the pivotal moment of his conversion. In other words, here is what I'm going to say. Christ is present in suffering. Christ is present in the Eucharist. But Christ is present in the poor. In the last judgment scene that Matthew describes in the gospel, the goats and the sheep were separated based on one solitary criterion: those who recognize Christ in the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and those in prison. Folks, we may not have had the chance to be on the mountain of transfiguration, but Christ is among us, in the poor, in the hungry, in the ill, in the victims of human trafficking, in those enduring domestic violence, in the children not given a chance to live, in the victims of gun violence, in the victims of war, in those uprooted from their homeland, in the immigrants seeking refuge, and indeed in every peacemaker. The presence of Christ in the poor, the helpless, and the vulnerable, and those on the peripheries is the most demanding and challenging one. Yet, it is, in my estimation, that is where Christ is spectacularly present in our world. Without the brilliance of the transfiguration, but as real as it gets. Remember Jesus' words to us, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. So as we celebrate this Eucharist today, I'm sorry, but there's not going to be a flaming torch that's going to come and consume the sacrifice. I'm sorry that there's not going to be the brilliance of the transfiguration over here. But what do we have? We have our suffering. We bring our pain. We bring our tears. And Christ is near to us in our suffering. We bring bread and wine. And the splendor of God appears to us in the real presence of the transformation of that bread and wine. And then as we leave the church today, there are the poor. There are those who are vulnerable. There are those who are struggling. There are those in prison. We discover the splendor of Christ's presence outside just as we do inside. So yes, these spectacular events of the past, they may seem unrealistic to us. But then Christ is truly present in our midst. Let us pray that we may have the eyes and the mind and the heart to recognize Christ in our midst in the ordinary ways in our lives. People of God said,